Hi, welcome to First Press Church Podcast. At the end of this message, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast channel or our YouTube channel for the latest Sunday messages. We're so glad to have you be a part of our worship from afar. It is our prayer that this message will ignite a fire in your spirit for a closer walk with God.
Good morning. Okay, it sounds like it's a good morning for about seven of you. The others maybe not sure. Let's try that again. Good morning. Okay, we'll let that do. Hey, good to be with you today. I invite you to pull out God's word, Matthew chapter 9, as we continue in our five-week sermon series, Walking with Jesus. As we work through this chapter and the stories that it contains, we're seeking to learn what walking with Jesus looks like in different facets of our lives. Today's theme is Make It New. It's acknowledgement that walking with Jesus has a way of inviting newness into our lives. We want to understand better what that looks like and how we can be responsive to it. But before we look to God's word, let's turn to him and ask him to lead our understanding of it. Let's pray together. Oh Lord God, once again, we come to the feast of your table. And we confess this morning that we are hungry. We are thirsty. We long to feed from what you have to teach us that will make a difference in our lives and in our following after you. And so we ask for your Holy Spirit to lead our understanding, to lead our receptivity. Pray that you would give us eyes to see, that you would give us ears to hear, that you would give us minds to receive, and that you would give us hearts that would respond. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 14. Then John's disciples came and asked him, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on a new garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." The word of the Lord. Last month, my only grandchild, Iona, turned one. Oh. And you know, it's kind of a weak sermon today, so I just thought I'd spend the next 10 minutes showing you pictures of her. Actually, in all seriousness, I've got to tell you, it has been so fascinating the last 5 to 6 months to follow Iona's steep learning curve. Every day is a new opportunity for self-discovery, to learn something new. And it's not something she wakes up each morning deciding to do. It's a natural part of the growth process for every child that lives into as they are growing up. Watching Iona's development makes me think about our own growth trajectory as God's children. For God longs for us to grow and to be developed under the Holy Spirit's influencing power, no less than what we see in these young children as they are growing up. I would hope every one of us can point to places where we can see God shaping our lives over the years. Rough edges that have been softened, values that have been formed, character that's been shaped, a capacity to love that's been deepened. And hopefully every person here who is walking with Jesus can say that we are different right now from when we started walking with him. But what about the new that Jesus still wants to do in our lives today? Can you identify places where you feel like God is doing something new in your life right now? Or is it hard to sense where God is actively at work? Every one of us would be concerned about a child we saw whose growth had been stunted in some way. Yet I wonder if we are as concerned about our own growth and development as God's children, or if we are willing to settle for less than what God has for us. Walking with Jesus invites an openness to the new that he is doing within us. And as we look at today's passage, I want to invite you to do so with a question in the back of your mind. And that question is, what new initiatives does God want to do in me? What new initiatives does God want to do in me? In fact, I'd like to ask if we could all say that together. Would you do that? What new initiatives does God want to do in me? Great. Now you're ready for us to look at the passage. This is actually the third of five stories in this particular chapter. And what's interesting is the first three all include Jesus being challenged in some way. 2 weeks ago, we saw that he was challenged by the teachers of the law. Last week, it was by the Pharisees. This week, the challenge hits closer to home. Then John's disciples came and asked him, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" We would have thought that John's disciples were on the same side as Jesus. But Jesus was doing something new that they found troubling. John's disciples had joined with the Pharisees in frequently fasting as a way of honoring God, demonstrating to him, demonstrating to those around them how serious they were about their commitment to God. In contrast, Jesus and his disciples didn't fast, making them appear less committed. And when Jesus is challenged, he responds by comparing his time on earth to a bridegroom with his guests. Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast." Jesus understood that his arrival, promised and awaited for centuries, was a cause for rejoicing. And brides and grooms, when they gathered with their wedding party, it was a tremendous time of celebration, literally for days. They involved food, they involved drinking. New Testament scholar Dale Bruner notes that it was as close to a vacation as some experienced in those days. To fast during that time together would not only have been out of place, it would have been a sign of rudeness to the host. And Jesus knew that there would be a later time to fast when he was gone. Jesus also understood that the new way of experiencing, relationship with God that he was ushering in was on a collision course with older ways that others were trying to preserve. That people needed to understand he wasn't there to reinforce what was currently in place, but to bring something new. Now let me pause and ask a question. When you are encouraged to embrace something new, how does that tend to make you feel? Some of you in the younger generation constantly enjoying the latest technological advance, new may equal better. And yet there also may already be so much new in your life, you're not sure how much more new you can handle. If you're older, like me, new can feel threatening, especially in the area of technology. Every new development makes us feel a little more behind. We can find it hard to catch up. I will share with you, I mentioned this at our 8:30 service this morning, and I got a very big amen in response to that. It can be easy for us, just like those in Jesus' day, to want to hang on to what's familiar and what's comfortable, and to resist the new. And so Jesus offered two practical examples. Now, both of them are a bit unfamiliar to us, but they would have been perfectly understood by people in Jesus' day. It would have been like me saying to you today, don't put metal in a microwave. You'd know exactly what I was talking about, and we would move on. And that's where Jesus' audience was with these examples. He says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. He says, neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. The first example that Jesus offered pointed to the foolishness of mending an older, washed, shrunk garment with a new and unshrunk patch. Everyone he was talking to in that moment knew that when it was washed, the shrunk patch now would pull away from the garment and both would be ruined. And then he went on to talk about old wineskins, which over time became stretched to their limit and became brittle, whereas new wine still fermenting would expand. And if it was in an old wineskin, it would cause them to burst. And again, both would be lost. Both examples, Jesus wanted to illustrate the incompatibility of God's kingdom change that he was ushering in with the old familiar ways that people were comfortable with and were holding on to. Jesus wanted to make it clear, he didn't come to maintain the status quo. He came to do something more freeing and something more life-giving than people were settling for in that day. Now, as we look at Jesus' response here, I want to invite you to consider two points of application from this passage. The first is that God is continually doing something new. It's who he is. It's what he does. God creates. And this creative activity has been continuing since the start of our world. God restores. He is actively at work reclaiming our lives from sin's deadly influence. And God reveals something of his character in the Old Testament book of Isaiah when he declared, "See, I am doing a new thing." Nowadays, there are a number of TV shows on about restoring old homes. Some of you may watch them, transforming these homes into something far more beautiful and far more functional by the end of the show than it was at the beginning. And friends, if you hear nothing else this morning, hear this. That is an image of what God wants to do in you and in me, reclaiming us from the damage that we have experienced from the fall and from all that we are willing to live with. Until our final breath, God is shaping us more and more into the person he had in mind at our birth, carving out greater beauty within us through the Holy Spirit's transforming power. The Apostle Paul touched on this in Philippians when he wrote, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Are you able to believe this? Can you accept that God isn't done lovingly growing and shaping you? God is continually doing something new. But there are two beliefs we can have that can prevent us from receiving that new. For one thing, perhaps we don't believe we still can change at this point in our lives. It's not uncommon to believe that that who we are feels fairly hardened. We're pretty well set in our ways. We can unconsciously echo the words of the cartoon character Popeye, "I am who I am." Even if we want to experience God's transforming new, we may not be sure it will make much of a difference. Or, if we're honest, maybe we don't want to change. Maybe we don't want God's new in our lives. After all, change can feel uncomfortable, and new patterns of growth can be inconvenient. That's why Mark Twain years ago noted that the only person who likes change is a baby with a wet diaper. And so perhaps we would prefer comfortable and familiar over God's promise of better. That leads to our second point of application from this passage, and that is we have a role in God's new initiatives. Our God is actively engaged in a reclamation project to bring life-giving change, to make things new. And regardless of how far along we are in life, regardless of what he has already done in our lives, he continues to work to restore within the beauty that he knows that we have, shaping us more into his image. But here's the question for us. How receptive will we be to God's new work in our lives? You see, when God touches our lives with his new initiatives, we have a choice. We can be like those in today's passage and push back, insisting on keeping things in our lives just the way they are, or we can walk with Jesus into the new, embracing what he desires to bring about. It's up to us whether we work with him in the new things that he is doing or push against him. But I would make this observation: pushing against what God wants to do doesn't tend to be a winning strategy. Jen Hatmaker said something beautiful I want to share with you. She said, "God is doing a new thing as he has done in every generation. We stand in that tiny spot in history in which it is our turn to experience God's fresh redemption in a new way." Our Lord knows that familiar and comfortable can often come at the expense of better. And so he continues to work in our lives, chipping away at hard places, shaping us more into his image. And as you reflect on today's message, let me offer a couple questions to ponder in the week ahead. First, where do you sense God currently stirring up something new in your life? Perhaps you're sensing an attitude or a behavior that needs some work, that's not where you would want it to be. Or maybe you're feeling a sense of restlessness or dissatisfaction, a longing to experience something more than you have been. Perhaps you sense God nudging you toward some new activity or pursuit in your life. Where do you see signs of God inviting you to join him in something new that he wants to do? And then let me ask the second question, perhaps in a different way. Where do you currently need God's ability to make things new? Perhaps there's some part of your life that you wish were different moving forward, but it's hard to believe that it can be. Would you allow today's passage to be a precious reminder that Jesus has come to do something new, and that his new activity is still at work in your life and in mine? Would you invite God to do something new in you that you alone can't pull off? I was talking recently with a friend who mentioned that during his travels, he had come across a motel called the It'll Do Motel. Now, I'm not sure any of us would ever want to stay in a place with that name. And if we did, we certainly wouldn't expect much of the customer service. And yet sometimes we can approach our lives in that way. We hold on to what's familiar and what's comfortable, and we tell ourselves and we tell our Lord, it'll do. But as those in today's passage discovered, seeking to preserve the status quo places us on a collision course with the new that God wants to do. And so as you leave here today, take these two questions with you. Where do I sense God currently stirring up something new in my life? And where do I currently need God's ability to make things new? As we discern where God is doing something new in our lives, let's embrace that initiative and let's walk with Jesus in it. Let's pray together. Oh, holy God, how blessed we are that you don't leave us where we are. You don't leave us where we sometimes want to be, but you see so much more in us than we can even see in ourselves. And so, Lord, we invite you today, please continue your new initiatives in our lives. Help us to see your fingerprints, to find encouragement in those places where you are working and you are inviting us to walk with you in those places of new. Lord, give us courage to follow after you. Thank you for all that you have done to shape our lives. Thank you for all that you are doing to shape our lives. And thank you for all that you will yet do as your beautiful act of creation, making us more and more like you. Thank you, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Once again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you live in the Colorado Springs area, we'd love to have you here on Sunday mornings. To find us online, just search First Pres Colorado Springs.